Hello, are we ready to get started?
Give me just a second, I'm turning everything on.
I see a couple of callers that need to identify themselves. Could you do so, please?
This is Alice. I'm on the line.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
Jason's on with Eric.
Thank you.
This is Alicia with Expect.
Thank you, Alicia. Chair Lemon, you're welcome to begin your meeting anytime you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll go ahead and get started. Call the Health and Services Committee meeting to order at 5:02 p.m. on this 8th day of September 2020. The first item on the agenda is prayer. You'll give me just a moment. If you'll bow your head, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as we would have it, trusting that you will be all right if we surrender to your will, so that we may be reasonably happy in life and supremely happy with you forever in the mix. Amen. The next item on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Stager.
Present.
Congressman Big Horse. Congressman Big Horse. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Present.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present. Did I hear Congresswoman or Speaker Pratt? Is she here? Madam Clerk.
I think she's trying to log on right now.
We do have a quorum with four, with Goodfox, Tillman, Stabler, and myself, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we can move forward. If the committee is ready to move, if you guys are ready to move forward, we do have approval of minutes, and our clerk has attached the minutes. If you could please take a look at those minutes.
Chair, I had a new caller call in. Can I get them to identify themselves, please?
Sure.
You just entered the call.
It's Jody.
Okay, thank you.
This is Alice. Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
There's a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
There's a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion. All those in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? Yes. Hearing none. The motion carries. The minutes have been approved. Thank you, committee. I just wanted to welcome everyone who's in attendance. And I think I do see Ms. Shadlow is here with us and Mr. Johnson. If the record could reflect that they are in attendance with us, I would appreciate that, Madam Clerk. We also have Jason Thone and Alicia Hutchins.
I will.
Thank you. I just wanted to just take one moment to, I've been listening to the other committee meetings and I have a little bit of a grasp on the idea of working through our sections and how we can accomplish this. And I would just maybe appreciate some input from the committee or anyone else who's on here with Congress that we possibly would consider working through each section, and then when we're finished working through every section, we would just maybe possibly consider entertaining a motion that we have reviewed it so that it can be reflected in the meeting minutes the day that it was reviewed, so that we can check it off and move on to other sections. And then once we've reviewed every section that has been assigned to us, that we would then make a motion that would include all the sections and do a report out of those sections. So just kind of wanted to see where the committee was at on that and how y'all felt about that.
Chair, this is Stabler. I would agree with that.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Anybody else have any input? Okay, then, moving right along. Like I said, welcome, Ms. Shadlow. We do have you up as the first batter up, if you want to call it that. Are you there, Ms. Shadlow?
Yes, hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. So we do have social services on the agenda today, and we're looking at three budgets here. And would you like to start with just a quick preview of the social services program plan that you have? So Grace, you've seen us, read through it. A lot of great information in there. So if you'd like to, if that's up to you, you can have the floor and we can dive right in.
Okay, great, thank you. So I did notice that a few of our federal budgets were attached to the invitation, and I'm not sure if that was, so section 38, I believe, I'm sorry, flipping through, yes, 38 and 52, are the tribal budgets that apply to our program, but I don't believe that they were attached to the invitation. But in our annual plan this year, there was a lot of discussion regarding changes that have had to be made because of the current situation. And what we really focused on when working on budgets this year, was first of all moving the wages that we could to our federal funds as much as we could. So we were able to make a 35% reduction in wages that were paid from tribal funds, moving those into our federal funds. Part of that was because of a position that was eliminated. And then part of that was also from, you know, shifting funds around that we're not going to be using for travel and things like that to fill the gap, sort of. And then I also wanted to make sure that we beefed up our direct services a little bit because we know that that's probably going to continue to be an area that's going to need greater funding throughout the rest of this year and, well, for fiscal year 21, basically. And in anticipation of that, that you'll see that for section 52, we have a little over 30,000 in direct services. And that is because that's the most broad budget that allows us to assist not only our Indian child welfare clients, family preservation clients, but also elders, vulnerable adults. We can assist anyone with those funds, which is why I like to make sure that we have plenty in that line item and don't mind putting it there, even though I know I can't move it if I need to put it somewhere else later. But I like having enough there to meet the needs of our clients as they arise, because it's in our office, it's kind of moment to moment, crisis to crisis, and we're always putting out fires, and that gives me a pretty big fire extinguisher. So I'm thankful for that. We've also received additional funds that are through self-governance that we can assist our supervised IIM clients with. And I'm thankful to have that because of the reduction in quarterly payments for shareholders, because a lot of our most vulnerable shareholders have their accounts supervised, and those funds, which are federal, of course, can only be for those clients. And I'm thankful that we were able to access those, and we'll be able to use those during the rest of, FY20, FY21. They're not time limited, so they can carry over, and I'm thankful for that. We've decided, I'm sorry,
I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the position that was eliminated was our Child Protective Services position. And that's a really tough blow because that position is, I mean, we had a few years ago, we had been looking at actually adding a second CPS position. And so now there are 8 staff members in our office, and 7 of us are each taking a day for Child Protective Services, of being on call in the evenings, and we each have a day. So whether it's, you know, if your day's on Saturday, then you're on call on the weekends. But again, all of our staff is on call 24/7 anyway, and so far that it's worked out well. I mean, I'm hopeful that we will be receiving additional funds through ACF within the next sometime in FY21 that are geared at helping us expand our family preservation program. And so I'm hopeful that we can possibly use some of those funds to maybe add a staff member at that time. And that may help ease the burden on everyone who's right now. But we do what we do, and just do what needs to be done. So,
can I ask you a question, Ms. Shadlow?
Yes.
Thank you. So on the position that was eliminated, was that due to needing to make cuts?
Yes.
Okay. And the additional funding that you think that you might be receiving through the ACF for family preservation may be able to supplement the position that you had to cut. Is that the idea? That's what you basically said. Is that right?
Yes, that's what I'm hopeful for. The additional funds are for a 5-year period. So they're likely not going to be enough to sustain the position long term, but I'm hopeful that between now and then, maybe we fund that position federally for a few years, and then maybe we are able to supplement it with tribal funds after, you know, things have normalized a little bit, whatever that means right now. I mean.
Yes, exactly. Our new normal?
Yeah. I'm so tired of hearing that, but it's true. It's like my kids are going to school with a mask on.
So can you talk a little bit about the Casey Family Programs?
Yes. That is an additional source of funding that we were very thankful to receive this year. So Casey Family Programs is an organization that supports child welfare agencies across the country. And their support of our program typically in years past consists of training, and they help with travel costs to attend conferences or meetings. And so we've always been very thankful for their support, because without that, there are a lot of conferences and trainings and meetings across the country that we would not be able to attend. We just don't have that in our budget. This year, however, we are on a travel ban, as well as Casey Family Programs. And so they had a lot of funds that were not being spent. And so they decided to use part of that as a grant to each of the tribes that they work with. And so we were lucky enough to receive a $20,000 grant from them, and most of that was put into direct services. And one of the things I'm most excited about with those funds is it allows us to help families that we ordinarily might not be able to assist, because with our ACF funds and our self-governance funds, and even with our tribal funds, because of our policies and procedures, we have to have a case plan for any services to be provided. So with these funds that were provided by Casey Family Programs, perhaps we hear about a grandmother who is taking care of grandkids but doesn't officially have guardianship because she doesn't want. This happens a lot. I know of a lot of families in this situation, and usually we're not able to help them, and we have to refer them to other resources because we don't have a case plan for that family, because there's not a guardianship in place. And so with these funds, there are no restrictions, and we may be able to help them with school clothes or with a Chromebook for distance learning or with something as simple as diapers and wipes and formula. So I'm really excited about that grant because it opened up the opportunity to be able to help more families.
That's good news. Okay. Does the committee have any questions for Ms. Shadlow?
I guess I could ask a question or two.
You have the floor.
Thank you. And actually, Jordan might have to get in on this. I understand about your direct services, and that's a good plan. That's a good thing. But did you have, you lost a position. Did you have any increases on any of these budgets over last year?
Are you referring to our tribal budgets?
Yes.
So they were decreased. I mean, I think it's substantially. The percentage overall, just in wages, was 35%. 35% decrease. Because again, I worked with Vicki, who's our accountant, trying to move as much of our wages into our federal possible. And so I'm looking now at, and I meant to look at these before I left, didn't have time. So last year, for example, our social services budget, which is your section number 52, this year, $311,422.61. And so last year, the proposed amount was $480,153. Basically, every line item. Again, no, direct services increased. So, yeah, we did increase direct services. And again, that's because I just anticipate a greater need this fiscal year than in years past. Mm-hmm. And then your section 38, which is our ICW budget, it looks like direct services also increased a little over what we had last year, about $2,200. There's less indirect services in that budget just because it's more limited on who we can assist. The other budget, we can, like I said, we can assist anybody. It doesn't matter if it's a ICW case or a CPA case or Family Prez or APS. I mean, if somebody needs help, I know that if I have money in 371, I can help them. Okay. That's why I like having a big pillow there.
Okay. So on your tribal dollars, though, they did not increase.
No, ma'am. They decreased overall.
They did.
Almost, like I said, almost 40% over last year. Or below last year.
And for looking at the fact that you're down one position, plus you moved the wages out of tribal wages to federal wages as possible, I believe we're looking at a 35% reduction in wages on tribal dollars. Is that correct?
I was having a difficult time hearing you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. So having the reduction in force, one less child protective service worker, plus tribal wages to federal wages gave you 35% and 40% in your tribal budget. Were you able to hear that, Ms. Chadlow?
I missed the end, but I think what you're asking, the reduction that I'm referring to is just wages. I didn't calculate the overall reduction. It's the wages is 35%.
I don't know why I'm cutting out on you, but I can hear you really good.
I hear you really well in the beginning and then towards the end.
Okay, I got a message. I'm at home, so I don't know what the deal is. It sounds like I'm in the tunnel, maybe, so to some people. I don't know what it is. I do hear something in some background. If everyone could try to mute their phones or their computers unless they're speaking, I would greatly appreciate it. We might help with some background noise. I'm not hearing it now, so that's good. Thank you guys very much. Okay, so your two tribal budgets are, I mean, you have federal budgets, but your two tribal budgets are Section 38 and Section 52. Is that right, Ms.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we have those budgets here in front of us. And then we did, they did attach the, to the invite, the Indian Child Welfare budget is here. So, if the committee wants to look at, through that, it's duplicated on here. Does anybody have questions about the Indian Child Welfare budget that's in front of us? And Ms. Shadlow, is this the correct budget?
It is. And I was just real quick going to calculate the decrease overall. So it looks like overall the decrease is 20%. Wages, like I said, when I added the two together was 35% over between the two budgets. But the overall decrease in this budget, which is your Section 38, is 21%. From last year.
Okay. And I can see here that you have no travel scheduled or planned. It's zeroed out.
No.
And then you mentioned
and again,
this. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
If the travel ban were to be lifted sometime in FY21, because of the relationship and the support that we receive from KC Family Programs, that wouldn't be an issue. We would still be able to attend trainings, meetings, conferences, if that is something that is that takes place next year. We do have a conference coming up for the Oklahoma Indian Child Welfare Association, and it's being held virtually, but some of the participants are going to be staying at the Osage Casino in Tulsa in November. It had been planned to be held there, but just because of COVID, they've decided to move to a kind of a hybrid. So.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have any questions at this point in time? We looked at the 38 and Section 52, our tribal dollars.
I have a couple of questions, Chair. It's Paula.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
I just wanted to ask just some general questions about the number of children you have on your program now and the number of adults.
You got me. I came with numbers, money numbers, and I did not come prepared with program numbers. I know that we do have 42 supervised IIM clients. We have an average of about 5 adult protective services referrals each month, and our CPS referrals tend to average around 50 per month, and that's nationwide, like I said. So some of those are ICW, but I'm giving you an estimate because I have my numbers ready for, you know, defending our budget here. And
okay, well, you know, how many, what's your caseload for your employees, your social workers?
It relies on the worker. I have 2 ICW workers that are dedicated for ICW and now CPS. Then I have a foster care specialist who also has, you know, 1 day of CPS. I have an adoption and guardianship specialist. She also takes one day of CPS. Then I take a day. My social work supervisor takes a day. And recently our hired APS social worker, Adult Protective Services, she also has experience in child welfare, and so she takes a day of Child Protective Services also. So the average case load per worker right now is about 15. Some have a lot more than that. Just depends on the timing and when a case closes. I mean, we have cases that go for close to 3 years, and then we have cases that are done, you know, within 6 months. And the reason for that is an ICW case, we're required to provide active efforts, and there's a big difference between, a lot of people call us tribal DHS, but since I have the floor, I like to make a distinction on what we do versus what DHS does for a non-native family. And there's nothing wrong with that, but ICWA requires that we provide active efforts to reunify the family. And while that may mean for a DHS case with a non-native family, they make referrals, they set up times for visits, but it's on the parents to figure all that out. You figure out how you're going to get to the visit. You figure out how you're going to get to parenting classes. You know, that's on you. In our case, we're providing active efforts, which means I not only schedule this appointment for you, I call you the day before to remind you about the appointment. I come and pick you up and I take you to the appointment. I pick your kids up and bring them to the office so that you can have visitation with them. I come and pick you up so that you can have visitation with them. I mean, it's very client-centered, and it's intensive and time-consuming, but it provides results that without those active efforts might not occur. And they may, you know, it depends on the family, but we want to eliminate all barriers to reunification that we can within that time frame that the case is open. And if it takes 3 years, it takes 3 years. I mean, we do have a case right now that's going on 3 years. And I know that there different people have different points of view about it, but I believe it's important to make sure that we exhaust all efforts because terminating someone's parental rights is it's huge. I mean, it's life-changing. And if that's done without exhausting every possibility, then I think that's a disservice. So
thank you, Ms. Shadlow. Committee or anyone else have any other questions? Any comments?
This is Alice. I have a question.
You have the floor, Ms. Goodfox.
Thank you. LaDonna, I know that during the holidays, the program does things for the kids that you all have within your services that you're serving for like Christmas and things like that. Is that located under supplies for program, that amount? Is that tribal or federal?
No, that comes from direct services. And internally, we call it the Christmas Project. But externally, you know, it would be called, I don't even remember what we call it, but within the office, we call it the Christmas Project. And
okay, but that's the money used is located under the direct services.
Yes. So program okay. Supplies would be like this year, I plan to redo our visitation room to make it a little more homey. It's kind of stuffy and we need some new toys in there and we need a new rocking chair and things like that. So that's where that would come from.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. The floor is open for any further comments or questions. For Ms. Shadlow. Well, if there's nothing further, I would just like to touch on something. If Ms. Shadlow, considering the fact that we are in the state that we are in, and I know that there are several webinars out there that we all, some of us watch and we stay up on, and you know, we hear statistics, new statistics out because of the pandemic that we're in and the state of affairs. And so I was just wondering, kind of piggybacking on what Congresswoman Stabler had brought out in the fact about caseload, and I'm concerned because you've had I understand that you had to a reduction in force, you know, and you've moved some wages from tribal to federal. You know, your constitution is very clear on taking care of our children and our elders and protecting them. And so I am concerned that you have had a reduction in force, and with what we are dealing with in our world at this date and time. So could you speak to are you having increases in cases, people coming back into services that have been there before? I mean, from a health standpoint, you were definitely the natural nature of the beast is that we end up having more issues because of the health crisis that we're in now, and coping mechanisms for people. And so we see an increased incidence of, you know, abuse sometimes. And so could you, mm-hmm. Where are we at with that?
Well, kind of what we expected in the very beginning, we had a sharp decrease in referrals. We were expecting that because children weren't attending school. This was back, you know, during spring break when everything kind of shut down. And so we were a little worried because we knew that when things opened up again, there would be a sharp increase in reports just because people were seeing kids again. And that is what happened, and it was expected. We've also had a few families who have had a positive case in the home, and when that happens, we work very hard to make sure that we are able to provide groceries, toiletries, things like that, so that the family is able to quarantine and they're not, they don't need to leave the house, because we want not only to keep them safe, but also to, you know, keep them from going out into the public and infecting others. And so it's kind of leveled off. We always, when school starts, you see an increase in reporting just because teachers are seeing kids again. And that's an annual thing. But yeah, like I said, in the beginning, when everything shut down, we did kind of have a lull in reports for a few weeks. And we knew that it wouldn't take long before we started hearing more more reporting, just because kids had been seen either at the doctor's office or at school, you know, when they did start returning back to school, or daycare. But that's kind of, as far as this year being a lot different than past years in numbers, I was surprised it didn't differ more. It was pretty consistent with the way it typically goes. You know, we have a spike when kids go back to school. When they are home for the summer, sometimes we get less reports, but when they go back to daycare or summer camps or well child visits, we start receiving more reports.
Thank you, Ms. Shadlow. Okay, committee, we are at the end of looking at what we have as far as tribal budgets on our agenda today. So I'd like to offer the floor to anyone else who would like to speak up now. Any further questions? If not, entertain a motion that the minutes reflect that we have reviewed assigned section 38 and section 52 along with social services annual plan.
So moved.
The motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Seconded by Congresswoman Goodfox. The motion was made by Congresswoman Stabler. Any discussion? I hear no discussion. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed,
please say no. Hearing no opposed, the motion carries. Okay, thank you, committee. At adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Hold on here a second.
Second.
Seconded by Congresswoman Goodfox. Motion made by Congresswoman Stabler. All those in favor, please say yes.
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 We are adjourned. Thank you, committee. Thank you, Ms. Shadlow.
Thank you all. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
I wish you back your son. So I was like, driving this. I was like,